Joshua chapter 7. But the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things. And the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is near Beth Evan, east of Bethel, and said to them, "Go up and spy out the land." And the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, "Do not have all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not make the whole people toil up there, for they are few." So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai killed about 36 of their men and chased them before the gate as far as Sheburim and struck them at the descent. And the hearts of the people melted and became as water. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until the evening, he and the elders of Israel. And they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, why have you brought these people over the Jordan at all to give us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? Would that we had been content to dwell beyond the Jordan. O Lord, what can I say when Israel has turned their backs before their enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it and will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name?" The Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Israel has sinned. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. And therefore the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted for destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Get up, consecrate the people, and say, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, God of Israel, there are devoted things in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the devoted things from among you.'" Verse 19. Then Joshua said to Achan, "My son, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and give praise to him. Then tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from me." And Achan answered Joshua, "Truly, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I did. When I saw among the spoil a beautiful cloak from Shinar, and 200 shekels of silver, and a bar of gold weighing 50 shekels, then I coveted them and took them. And see, they are hidden in the earth inside my tent, with the silver underneath." Verse 25. And Joshua said, "Why did you bring trouble on us? The Lord brings trouble on you today." And all Israel stoned him with stones. They burned them with fire and stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones that remains to this day. Then the Lord turned from his burning anger. And therefore to this day, the name of that place is called the Valley of Achor. This is the word of the Lord. And thanks be to God. Good morning, everybody. My name is Jackson. I'm one of the pastors of this church. And this morning, I want to share with you on this passage in Joshua chapter 7 entitled, "The Right Devotion." As Reverend Srima said earlier, yeah, I'm speaking here live on site with all of you, and I have my mask removed because those with mask removed speaking live have taken their ART test. And yesterday was the first time I took the ART test. And yes, so today I'll be here to speak to you as well. But let's invite the Lord to bless this time as we look into the Word in Joshua chapter 7 together. Come, let us pray. Lord, Holy Spirit, may you guide my lips, and may you guide my thoughts, and may you challenge our hearts and our lives as we listen to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, what is your devotion like? What is your devotion like? Think about it. Perhaps a devotion means time spent with God. Definitely, that's one of the definition of devotion for us as Christians. And we do that through, you must be thinking, prayers, Bible reading, worship, even service through mission, outreach, blessing to others, through acts of kindness and ministries. Now, a quick check of the dictionary shows me that there are two definitions of the word devotion, actually. And these two definitions of devotion, the first one is as how we define the devotion, as how I explained earlier about our devotion. It means to give all or most of our time or resources to a person or activity. And of course, for us as Christians, in this case, we give our time and our resources in serving God, in worshiping God, in drawing closer to God. But there's a second definition of devotion, and it's a very old, archaic definition of devotion, which is, archaic means very old and it's not used anymore. But a long time ago, devotion actually meant to invoke or to pronounce a curse upon. To invoke or to pronounce a curse upon. So with these two definitions of devotion, as the word devotion itself from the dictionary, it shows that the first one means that we is the things in our life that we set aside, you know, we dedicate, we pledge, we consecrate the holy things to be set apart for God. But the second definition tells us that devotion also means the things in life which are against God, the things to be destroyed. In other words, the unholy and sinful things. It's quite an interesting concept of the word devotion and how it has changed over the many years. But I would define it as it is an intense dedication of our lives or what it is that is to be holy or to be destroyed. And here in Joshua chapter 7, the devotion, or the word devoted, that appears many times, refers to the second one, the older letter archaic meaning that talks about destruction or to pronounce a curse upon. All right. In fact, if I'm to go into the Hebrew word, and this is it, the Hebrew word is harem or karem. And this word, it was taken from Leviticus chapter 28, or rather 27, verse 28. And it was written in Leviticus chapter 27, 28, that says that no devoted karem, okay, thing that a man devotes to the Lord, karem, or anything that he has, whether man or beast, or of his inherited field, shall be sold or redeemed. And every devoted karem thing is most holy to the Lord. So here, this word karem or harem in the Hebrew text actually simply means it has the root word of meaning prohibiting, that means restriction, and sanctity, okay, to keep it as precious and holy. Simply to put, the definition is to simply to surrender to God, to give over to God. So anything that is devotion, anything to be devoted, is for us to give to God, to surrender to God. And so today, our definition is your time of prayer, your reading of the Bible, your service, is your devotion, you surrender to God. But in the Old Testament here in Joshua chapter 7, it also meant to ban. It's not just to limit or to prohibit, to ban these things for utter destruction. All right? Okay, and it's explained there. So I thought I have to explain this for us as we enter into chapter 7, because the word devote or devotion appears many times in this text. And it is very important for us to see that here in this context, the word devote means to be destroyed. But it actually just means to surrender to God. Now there is a command for this devotion that was given. And although we read from Joshua chapter 7, it really began from Joshua chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. And this was key to our passage in chapter 7, because here was when that God gave this command. And God said to Joshua and the whole Israel in Joshua chapter 6, verse 18, "But you keep yourselves from the things devoted to destruction, lest when you have devoted them, you take any of the devoted things and make the camp of Israel a thing for destruction and bring trouble to it. But all silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron are holy to the Lord, and they shall go into the treasury of the Lord." You see, from here in chapter 6, there were already many repetitions of this word that pops up. Harem, karem, okay? And here it means devoted to destruction. And Israel, we hear from last week's sermon that they did very well. They conquered the city of Jericho. They observed what God told them and listened to the commands and instructions. And it was written at the end of Joshua chapter 6 that all was good. And Joshua's name and fame grew in the land, because when the walls of Jericho fell, Israel just marched in and took over Jericho. But amongst all this so-called celebration at the end of chapter 6, something actually bad happened behind the scenes. And here in Joshua chapter 7, it's still the same scene of the fall of Jericho, but yet in chapter 7 verse 1, the tone suddenly changes to tell us that among all these good things that was happening at the end of Joshua chapter 6, here at the very first verse, the people of Israel broke faith in regard to these devoted things. And he explains, in fact, I will say this chapter 7 verse 1 is the whole summary of Joshua chapter 7 itself. It says that Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabi, son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, took some of these devoted things. And God was very angry, because God just instructed them in chapter 6, keep yourself from the things devoted to destruction. But here, one man has taken and coveted what he has seen and kept for himself. He broke faith. But it was also interesting to note this. In Joshua chapter 7 and verse 1, when it was said that the people broke faith, it was written in the plural form that Israel broke faith. Not one person broke faith. And it's talking about that the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel, not just against one person. So we also see that there is a community effect of a single person's sin. I'll come into that more later. But this is something very serious for us to consider, because in a community of believers, if one person sin, it may affect the entire community. I'll go to my second point, the reversal of circumstances. As I read into this Joshua chapter 7, I see that there was some reversal of circumstances that happened. And I'll tell you four of them that I identified. First of all is the reversal of the spies' account. Now you will remember in the very first chapter or sermon of Joshua, chapter 1 that I preached many weeks ago, I was telling us about how the context of Joshua was when Moses sent people, the spies, to spy out the land of Canaan, right? Yeah, so I underlined the words there in Numbers chapter 13. You will see that Moses sent spies to spy out land of Canaan. And in Numbers chapter 13 as well, and it comes back to tell us the report of the spies. Out of the 12 spies, two of them, Caleb and Joshua, says in chapter 13 verse 30, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome Canaan." But the rest of the 10 spies who had gone up with him say, "No, we are not able to go against the people, for they are stronger than we are." And they brought a bad report of the land. So it is ironical, because during then, in this spies account, you see 12 spies were sent. Out of them, the majority, 10 of them, came back and they lack faith and confidence, and they say, no, we should not have gone in, we should not go into Canaan. But that was the time that they should have gone in, and because of their lack of faith and confidence, we know the story. God made them wandered around the wilderness for 40 years, just because these 10 guys have no faith and confidence, and they held back the rest of the country, or Israel, the nation, instead of asking them to move into Canaan. Because of these 10 spies, now they all have to dwell for 40 years. They should have gone in, but they didn't. But now, here in Joshua chapter 7, similar things has happened, because Joshua also sent men from Jericho to Ai to spy out the land. So it's a parallel that something is happening again. And this time the people return in verse 3 to say to him, "Do not have to have all the people go up. Basically, just let about 2,000 or 3,000 men to attack Ai is enough. We don't need a big army, just 2,000 to 3,000. Do not have to make the whole people of Israel, thousands and 10,000s of us, to toil up there. They are so few." So now this time the spies come back, they are full of faith and confidence. Unfortunately, because of the sin of Achan, this time it was a failure. This time they should not have gone in to Ai, but they are full of faith and confidence, and they went in only to realize that they were defeated. 3,000 men went up, in verse 4 it's written, and they fled before the men of Ai. And take in verse 5 also written that 36 of the men died. The Israelites died. A second reversal of circumstances that I see was this. There was a reversal of the melted hearts. Now, if you remember earlier when Reverend Dr. James was preaching from Joshua chapter 2 about the story of Rahab, and he was telling us how Rahab was telling the spies, also there were also spies that came to her, and the Israelite spies, and she was telling the Israelite spies there in Joshua chapter 2, verse 8. I think I have a typo there, right? 2 to 4, but actually it's, yeah, Joshua chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. And then Rahab was saying that, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you." And it was repeated again in verse 11 in Joshua chapter 2. "And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you." So the people of Canaan heard about the Israelites, about God, and they melted in fear. Again, it was written in verse 24 of chapter 2 that all the inhabitants of the land will melt away because of Israel. But fast forward back to Joshua chapter 7 this time, you see that the people who has their heart melted is no longer the Canaanites, but it was the Israelites. In Joshua chapter 7 verse 5, when the men of Ai killed about 36 of the Israelites and chased them, and the hearts of the Israelites people melted and became as water. There was a reversal of the melted hearts. A third reversal is this, a reversal of the better outcome. In Joshua chapter 1, again, back to my earlier sermon, I was sharing with us how God was assuring Joshua and giving him confidence to say that no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And he gave assurance that just as I was with Moses, I will be with you, I will not leave you or forsake you. Enemies couldn't stand, God will be with you. But here in Joshua chapter 7, verses 11 to 12, we read from verse 12, therefore, the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. It used to be no man shall be able to stand before you, but now the people of Israel cannot stand anymore before their enemies. And worse still, at the second part of verse 12, God says, I will be with you no more. As opposed to when God says, I will not leave you or forsake you. You see the seriousness of the reversal of circumstances. The fourth reversal that I want to share with you is a reversal of the stone's memorial. Now, Pastor Wen Chong shared with us in Joshua chapter 4 that says about how they crossed to the River Jordan and God told them to pick up rocks from the middle of the Jordan and set it in their camp at night. And in Joshua chapter 4 verse 5, Joshua said to them to bring all the stone upon your shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, and that this may be a sign among you. And when your children ask in time to come, what do these stones mean? You can tell them about this, the story of how God led us through the River Jordan, and these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. Fast forward to Joshua chapter 7. This time there's another heap of stones as memorial in verse 26. After they have stoned Achan and all those that belongs to Achan, they raise over him a great heap of stones that remain to this day. This time the stone's memorial is of one that reminds them of the sin and transgression of Israel. What are the reasons for such reversal of circumstances? Joshua chapter 7 verse 1, as I say, as a summary verse, has already told us what happened. And God spoke with his own words in verse 11 and 12 as well, that Israel has sinned, again, plural. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They have taken some of the devoted things. They have stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. And therefore the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. They turn their backs before their enemies, and because they have become devoted for destruction, I will be with you no more. So we can see from here and in verse 1, the reason for the reversal was because of the sin, the transgression, and the breaking of faith of Israel by taking the devoted things that were supposed to be for God to be destroyed, but they kept it for themselves. And God was very angry and see this as a very, very serious sin that has happened. And here in verse 12, it was also mentioned, as I underline, that because of someone keeping these items and things that were supposed to be devoted to destruction, now the person who is keeping all these things have also become devoted for destruction. An easier way to understand this is here in modern society, where I think we can all easily understand in this COVID situation. And when we say that when the COVID virus is here, and if I come and I touch it, I am in danger of getting the virus, right? So in the same way, back then, if something was devoted for destruction, and you come and you touch it and keep it for yourself, you too would become for destruction. devoted for destruction. Simply as that. All right? And it was written as well in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 26. That says that you shall not bring an abominable thing that's to be destroyed, and you should not bring them into your house, because if you do that, you will also become devoted to destruction. You shall utterly detest and abhor all these things as devoted for destruction, for it is devoted to that. And if you are to take it, you too will become devoted to destruction. And here God was telling Israel, in the battle of Jericho, do not keep all these things. They were devoted to God alone. They were devoted to destruction, as the definition of devote went. I come to the third point then, the right devotion. But all is not of bad news. We give thanks because God gave a hope for the people. As is written in verse 12, the second part, God gave them a hope and an answer and solution. He says, I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things from among you. Not just those. What are those things to be destroyed? Is it the things that Achan kept that were supposed to be for destruction? Yes, but don't forget, because Achan have touched and kept these items devoted for destruction, he has also become devoted for destruction. It's upon him now. So when God says, unless you destroy the devoted things from among you, he's talking about Achan as well. So get up, consecrate the people. It's like in the virus situation, you know someone has the virus. We try to quarantine and just get people separated. You make sure that everyone is sanitized and we wipe down and everything and keep ourselves clean. But in this case, get up, consecrate the people. Keep them holy now. Consecrate themselves for tomorrow. For thus says the Lord, there are devoted things in your midst. You cannot stand before the enemies until you take them away and submit them for destruction. It's an example that I can give is, you know, my daughter always like to bring toys outside to play. And sometimes when she bring toys outside to play, she bring them back home. And my wife and I are very particular about the bed. Okay, for us, the bed is a place of rest for the evening. So you shower and you're clean and you can jump on the bed. But things that are from outside, you don't put them on the bed. Sometimes my daughter, being only 5 years old, she doesn't know. She wants to put the toys on the bed. And we say, no. Because the outdoor toys that you place on the bed will soil the bed with the dust and germs that you may bring from outside. So what we do is, if you want to bring the toys on bed, you have to clean this toy first. You have to cleanse it. But if it's irrevocably soiled in such a way that it's so dirty that you can, no matter how you wash, you cannot wash it away. You cannot wash the dirt away. Then how? Then you will not be allowed to touch the bed at all. Okay, it will only be devoted for outside, outdoor playing, or it will have to be destroyed. So in the same way here, God wants all these devoted things only for destruction and not to come into to taint the rest of Israel anymore. And another point to note is there's no redemption from this situation. Leviticus chapter 27, as I said, read earlier for us, that no devoted thing that a man devotes to the Lord of anything that he has, whether man or beast, or of his inherited field, shall be sold or redeemed. You cannot redeem it back. And every devoted thing is most holy to the Lord. No one devoted who is to be devoted for destruction from mankind shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death. And that is a picture by an artist, Gustav Doré, that painted about the stoning of Achan. And so Achan, and not just him, but his family and his inheritance, his possessions, were all stoned and burned. They had to be destroyed. Was it a pity for Achan? After all, didn't he confess? He did not deny. But yes, earlier on, God did say that Israel has stolen and lied. because Israel were told not to keep any of these in Joshua chapter 6. But yet Achan did, and that was lying. And even though at the end he did confess to say, yes, I did keep, and they were buried under my tent. But it was too late. The consequences have to be bad. And also, if you remember, 36 of the Israelites had died in the battle of Ai. 36 families were broken. And who knows how many more were wounded, and the whole nation, they had their morale shaken. And it seems that everything that has happened before were all washed down the drain. The crossing of the Jordan River, the falling of the walls of Jericho, everything seems to be erased now because of the sin of Achan. And even though God loved his people, we will say that, but God is a gracious God. He loved his people. But yet, even though God loved his people, he would not allow his people to break faith and sin against him. An example I can give is like the Singapore government. We love Singaporeans and we will give us privileges. But that does not excuse us as citizens and residents of Singapore from our laws and our punishment. So in the same way, although God loves Israel and the people, God cannot stand that they will go against him, that they will break their faith. But the good news was, after all this was done and Achan was destroyed, in Joshua chapter 8, having devoted to destruction what that was truly belonged to God, Israel went back and faced Ai one more time. This time they didn't send 3,000 people, they sent 30,000 to be more safe now, not overly confident really. But this time they defeated Ai. And it was a turnover for Israel as they now truly devote to God. The story that we can read from here in Joshua chapter 7 shares with us the seriousness of what it means to be devoted to God. The seriousness of it. What is to be devoted to God? That is to be set apart as an offering to the Lord, and in this case, for destruction. It means that whatever we devote to God is something that is irrevocable surrender to God. It's not like, God, I give you my life, but tomorrow I want to take it back. No. When you surrender yourself to God, it belongs to God and God alone. In the Old Testament, the spoils of victory are to be devoted to God through destruction, through burning. But things such as gold and silver, as we can see, those are indestructible materials, are to be placed into God's treasury. But basically, all of this belongs to God and God alone. And mankind in possession of such devoted things stand to be destroyed as well. Now, brothers and sisters, today, aren't we the devoted? Earlier, I began with two definitions of devotion. We thank God that when we say we are devoted to God, it's no longer the archaic meaning of us being doomed for destruction. It still means to surrender ourselves wholly and fully to God. Not for destruction, but still it means to surrender to God. And thankfully, this time, as we give ourselves and we set apart ourselves for God, we are able to do so wholeheartedly. May it be that as we devote ourselves to God, that our unholy sins and disobedience will be doomed, will be the ones that's doomed for destruction. But let our lives, the holy things of pursuit of God, always be set aside for God in the limitations of worshiping Him, in the sanctity of just jealously guarding that devotion for God and God alone. Brothers and sisters, we can also remember that Jesus was also like devoted to God. Jesus, who was without sin, was set apart and was devoted for destruction himself on the cross, so that we can become devoted, holy things, consecrated for God and God alone. How are we living our devotion of our lives today? I started off with the question earlier, what is your devotion like? How is your time spent with God? Is your time spent with God in Bible reading, in prayers, in worship, in service, jealously guarded and given only to God? Or are we stealing these acts of devotion and using those time only to pursue our own desires and our own wants? Let us seriously set aside time for God each day. Do not spend the time that is devoted for God to use it on ourselves instead. We belong to God. We don't belong to the world. We don't belong to ourselves. We should also cherish the time that we can have together in worship and service to God. Don't skip that time of cell group where we can read the word together. Don't skip the time of prayer meeting where we can pray together as a community. Don't skip the time where we can fellowship together here in church and also to outreach and to bless others. Another point that I want to add is this, that it was one man, Achan's, his breaking faith to keep the devoted from himself that caused the entire community of Israel to stumble and fall. The seriousness of one affecting the whole community is greatly highlighted here. Whatever that each of us do in this body of Christ, we will affect the entire faith, the entire church, the entire body of Christ. No doubt, brothers and sisters, we will sin in life. I'm not saying that we do not sin. But know this, whatever sin that we struggle with is not your struggle alone. It affects you, but it affects all of us as a body of Christ. And so as we try to come back to God through our sin, to give up and surrender our sin and to repent from the sin and come back to God, know this, you are not alone. You do not struggle with your personal sin, but because it has a corporate consequence, the effect of the sin that affects our family and our society here, let us aim to repent together and restore our community of faith together. Every Sunday morning, the worship leader leads us through the time of confession and the time of silence as we pray and surrender anything that is not right before the Lord. Do you see that only for yourself? Or do you see that as we do this, we are doing it as a corporate body, as a community, to surrender our sins together? Next time, don't just pray only for yourself and say, God, I'm all right, you've forgiven me, I'm safe. But remember to also pray that, Lord, as just as you have forgiven me, may you also forgive my brothers and sisters in Christ. And let us all come before you in unison to worship you together. And so after the confession, when the worship leader says, let's turn to our left and right and wave to the people around us, we know that we are truly exchanging and passing the reconciliation of peace through the Lord Jesus Christ to one another. Let us learn to take that seriously in our liturgy. So in conclusion, Achan has coveted some of these devoted spoils of Jericho and kept some for himself. He incurred the wrath of God and caused trouble to the entire community of Israel. Our question then, how are we taking what is devoted for God today? Are we using it for ourselves, the time that we are supposed to devote to God? Are we using it to satisfy our own desires and our wants? Let us set aside the time and devoted things that belongs to God alone. And let us devote our lives, as we are the devoted, our service to God and God alone. Finally, in reflection, I want to ask us these two questions for you to think about, pray about, and bring home to meditate over. What in your life have you devoted to God? What in your life have you set aside for God? What in your life you should doom for destruction and don't even bother to touch it anymore? Let us learn to pray and ask God to help us devote our lives to Him. Come, let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you that through this very serious and very unfortunate and sad story that we read here in Joshua chapter 7, that it was supposed to be a height of celebration of the people entering into the promised land, crossing the river Jordan, and seeing the walls of Jericho falling down. But yet, such an unfortunate thing should happen. God, we pray, Lord, that we will not just point fingers at Achan and say that he deserved to die, he has sinned. But may we also learn to reflect and look upon ourselves. Have we stolen from you, lied from you, broken faith from you, what is devoted to you? And our lives, that the Lord Jesus died upon the cross, that we could be devoted to be with you. Let us cherish it and let us not spend the time unwisely. God, help us to truly devote our lives to you, not for destruction, but to destroy what tears away us away from you, but to wholly, fully surrender, dedicate, consecrate ourselves to you as a whole community. Forgive us, God, as your body of Christ, if any single one of us has sinned in any way, such that, Lord, each Sunday as we come together, as we confess our sins together, we truly will be forgiven and we truly worship you face to face. Help us, God. Help us, Lord, to truly be your devoted ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.